Again, we are very glad to have you here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. If you have a Bible, turn into the Gospel of John and chapter number 6. The Gospel of John, chapter 6. We will preach, the 17th sermon from this chapter. And we've got a ways to go even yet. 17th sermon from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. And we will read verses 51 down through verse number 59. John 6, 51 to 59. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread which I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, the portion in the Psalms, the portion in the Gospel of Matthew. We're thankful this morning for our text. Father, I desire so much to be very clear this morning. I want everyone to be able to understand. I want the sinner to be able to understand. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would take your word and make it understandable to all who are here, especially to the sinner. Help me to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last Sunday we considered the matters found in verses 47 down through verse number 51. Let me just take a few minutes, as I often do, to review what we looked at last Sunday morning. First of all, we considered the reminder that all who believe in Jesus Christ have eternal life. There are six such statements up to this point in John's Gospel, that all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have eternal life. The second thing that we considered last week is the first of the seven I Ams found in the Gospel of John. Each one reminds us of Jehovah's Old Testament name, which was told to Moses, "Tell them that I Am hath sent you." And each of these I Ams in the Gospel of John state the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, each of the I Ams found in the Gospel of John: I am the door, I am the bread, I am the true vine, I am the good shepherd. Each of the I Ams found in the Gospel of John remind us that Jesus Christ is God. Thirdly, we considered the fact that anything and everything you and I do to try to live a long life, everything that you and I do to try to live a long life will eventually end in death. All right? Everything that we do, eating carefully, eating right, exercising, everything that we do to try to live a long life, all of it, and we'll still end in death. It means that you should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might have eternal life. The fourth thing that we considered last week was the fact that the life that Jesus gives is eternal, reminding us that it cannot be lost. It is eternal. And that it is better than dreams come true, because dreams come true must end. All good things come to an end except eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And next we considered the suggestion of eating this bread from heaven, which means receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Eating, we said last week, is necessary if we are to benefit from food. The only way that you and I can benefit from food is to eat it. Eating is a response to a felt need. We won't eat until we feel the need to eat. And then eating is personal. You must eat to benefit from food. What we said last week is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive Him. We must believe on Him if we are to benefit from Him. And we will not receive Him and we will not believe on Him unless we feel the real need to. We won't unless we feel a real desire and a real urgency to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't. And lastly, that receiving the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life is something personal. Something private. There's a difference between private and personal. It's something personal. It's something that you must do for yourself. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. All right? Someone in your family can't eat supper and it benefit you. The only way you can benefit from supper is if you eat the supper. And the only way that you and I can benefit from Jesus Christ is if you believe upon Him. And so this is what we considered last week. The message is not online. I want to do some editing. Remember when our lights got super, super bright last week? I mean, everything in here turned into like a supernova. And it kind of freaked us all out. And there's that big interruption in the message. And I want to try to delete that out and edit that. And I haven't had time to do that this week. But Lord willing, this coming week, last week's message will be online. Now, verse 51. Look what it says, John 6:51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. In other words, when Jesus is talking about this bread that we must eat, He's talking about Himself. It's an illustration. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread which I will give him is my flesh, which I will give him for the life of the world. Now Jesus is about to explain again what He's been talking about this whole time, that He has been referring to bread. He's about ready to explain what He has meant by all this talk of bread. This is going to be His last explanation, and it's going to be His last reference to bread here in our gospel. We'll not read about the bread of life anymore. He's about to explain what the bread from heaven is. He's about to explain what this bread of life is. He's about to explain how this bread can give eternal life. And here's what He says. The bread is my flesh. Meaning, now listen close, meaning that He was going to offer His body as a sacrifice for the sins of sinners. He was going to offer His body as a sacrifice. He was going to voluntarily lay down His life. Now, No, I don't want to lose you here this morning. I desperately do not want to lose you. He's been talking about the bread of life. He's been talking about the bread that comes down from heaven. He's been saying, you eat this bread and you will have eternal life. And now he's going to try to explain what this bread is. And he says, the bread is my flesh. Meaning, I'm giving my body to be sacrificed for sin. I'm giving my life for sinners. The bread from heaven is him. And it is what he did for us. So what he is saying in verse 51 is not only that he came down from heaven, he's telling these Jews, I came down from heaven, but that he came down to earth to die. He came down that his flesh might be tortured and killed. And not just that he came to die, and not just that he came to be killed, but that he came to die for us, and that he came to be killed in our place. This is what Jesus is saying. The bread is my flesh. I came down from heaven and offered my body on the cross for sinners. I came down from heaven and I voluntarily laid down my life and died for sinners. I came down to die in your place. I came down to be killed in your place. When introducing the Lord's Supper, he said, this is my body, which was broken for you. It is only in a slain Christ that poor sinners can find that which meets their greatest need. It is only in a slain Christ on Calvary that sinners can find that which meets their pressing need. Only in a slain Christ. Jesus freely gave his flesh. He freely gave his body voluntarily and as a vicarious sacrifice for you and for me. Listen to me, friend. Listen to me, friend. It is you, it is me who should have died for our sins. And Christ came down from heaven, voluntarily laid down his life, vicariously sacrificed himself for our sins. Not just for the Jews, but for sinners within the Gentile nations as well. For he says, I give my flesh for the life of the world. I want you to understand and remember this, that almost everywhere in the Gospels, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. Almost everywhere in the Gospels, Jesus is speaking to the Jews. And when he speaks to them and mentions the world, he is letting them know that the Gentile nations and the Gentile people are in his mind as well. Whenever Jesus speaks to these Jewish people and he talks about the world, he is letting them know that this is not just about you, but it is about the Gentile peoples as well. I'm not falling into the trap of thinking that the world necessarily means every single person. We've already dealt with this. When you read the phrase, the world, your mind should automatically go to a verse such as Revelation 5:9. Whenever in the Gospels you read the world, your mind should automatically go to a verse such as Revelation 5:9. And they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Jesus died for the sins of people out of every kindred. In other words, every race, every clan. Jesus died for the sins of people in every nation. He died for the sins of people in every race, in every clan. He paid the penalty for people of different languages. He paid the penalty for people from different nations. The world when speaking of salvation, means that people will be saved from every corner of the globe.
Amen.
Very rarely does the world mean, sometimes it does. As I said a couple of weeks ago, pay attention to the context. But very rarely does the world mean every single person. But more often than not, it means people from every nation, people from every race, people from every language, people from every corner of the globe. In other words, Jesus did not die for the Jew only. In which case, you ought to give a resounding amen. He died for the Gentiles as well. And so he's going to explain here what this bread, he's been talking about bread for all of these verses. And he's going to explain the bread from heaven, the bread of life, the bread that you need to eat is my flesh. He gave his flesh on Calvary for Jew and Gentile alike. Look at verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, what Jesus has said about his flesh being the bread, and that if they ate it, they would have eternal life, this has only served to baffle them. It hasn't cleared up anything. All right? I mean, all this time Jesus has been talking about the bread of life, the bread from heaven, and they're probably a little confused about that. So he's going to explain it, and he says, the bread is my flesh, and this has only made matters worse. Now they are completely baffled, they are completely confused, and they are agitated. They do not understand that all of this talk about bread is a picture. They do not understand that all of this talk about bread is a type. They do not understand that all of this talk about the bread coming down from heaven and the bread of eternal life, they do not understand that it is an illustration. They don't understand that. They begin to debate and argue and fight among themselves about what Jesus has said. They all had different ideas about what Jesus meant. Some actually believe that Jesus was going to give them his flesh to eat. In other words, some of them actually believe that he was talking about cannibalism. I mean, that's what they thought. He's trying to explain the bread, and he says, it's really my flesh. You must eat my flesh. And it just baffles them, and some of them think that he's talking about cannibalism. Others thought he meant something different, and that's why they begin to argue among themselves. It kind of made me smile as I read this and studied this. 2,000 years, and people still argue about what Jesus said. We're still arguing about what Jesus said. We're still arguing about what Jesus meant. The fact that they strove among themselves indicates they had different opinions about what Jesus meant. Here they take something figurative and they try to make it literal. In today's religious world, we have a lot of people taking things that are literal and making them figurative. Church of Jesus Christ has gotten into a lot of trouble over the centuries trying to make the literal figurative and trying to make the figurative literal. Someone has said, if the plain sense makes common sense, then that is the first sense. In other words, if you read something and it can be taken literal, then it probably should be taken literal. When Jesus says, I'm the door, we know that can't be taken literal. Jesus doesn't have a knob coming out of the center of it. He's not on hinges. He's not a real door. We take that figuratively. But a lot of the church through the centuries has got into a lot of trouble by taking things that are literal and discounting them and making them figurative, and taking things that are figurative and trying to make them literal. And they were taking something figurative, eat my flesh, and they were thinking that he meant it literally. Now then, Jesus could have taken this opportunity. He heard them striving among themselves. He heard them arguing among themselves. He knew that some of them thought he was referencing cannibalism. He could have taken the opportunity to break it down and explain it in simple terms so that they could understand it. He could have done that. But he does not do that. The ways of the Lord are perfect. Can you say amen there? Amen. The ways of the Lord are perfect. And he's been known, our Lord has been known, to leave difficult sayings. He's been known to leave them difficult. He's been known to leave things confusing to certain people at certain times and for certain reasons. In the middle of a conversation with the Jews in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is praying. He stops in the middle of a conversation and he prays a little prayer to his Heavenly Father. Matthew chapter number 11, I want to read a couple of verses there. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Brothers and sisters, listen. God has hid things from certain people because he determined that it was right to do. Because he determined that it was good to do. And the Father and the Son would and could only be revealed to men as God decided to reveal his Son, as the Son decided to reveal the Father. Look at Matthew 13, 11 to 16. Matthew 13, 11 to 16. We see this over and over again in the Scriptures. We'll just read these two. Matthew 13, 11 to 16. He answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And so, yes, Jesus could have explained in simple terms what he meant when he said, the bread that I give is my flesh. And he heard them arguing among themselves. And some thought he was referring to cannibalism. Yes, he could have explained it in simple terms. But in the perfect wisdom of God, Jesus takes this illustration further and makes it more confusing to the hearer. Sometimes God hides things from all of us. Sometimes he hides things from certain of us. Sometimes he reveals things to certain of us. He said very plainly in the text we just read, Matthew 13. He spoke in parables so they would not understand. And so when he says, I am the bread of life, and now he wants to illustrate that, he says, when I say I am the bread, I am talking about my flesh, and you must eat my flesh. And they get confused, and he could have said, listen, this is a simple illustration. I'm comparing the two. But he chose not to. He chose to go on and make it more confusing to them. Look at verses 53 to 58. John 6, 53 to 58. Here they are arguing, said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? 53, and Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He not only doubles down, if you will, on the illustration of eating my flesh, but now he said, you're going to drink my blood. He could have stopped and easily said, this is an illustration, I'm making a comparison. But he does not. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So he moves from the illustration of eating bread, the bread from heaven, to eating his flesh and drinking his blood. These words of the Lord Jesus Christ are designed to give. Are you listening, people? Please listen. This is very, very important. These words of Jesus Christ are designed to give a spiritual illustration. It is a spiritual illustration. Jesus Christ is in no way, shape, or form advocating cannibalism. It is a spiritual illustration. It is meant, just like the reference to bread from heaven, just like the reference to living bread, it is meant to illustrate a sinner accepting and receiving into himself Jesus Christ by faith. To eat the flesh and drink the blood of Jesus is to believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, and that his blood was shed for sinners. The sinner must believe this. The sinner must believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He must believe that. Are you listening? He must believe that, and the sinner must receive that. That Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. You must, as a sinner, you must believe that Jesus Christ is God and that God came down in the flesh. The sinner must believe that Jesus' blood was poured out on the cross for sinners, that his blood was shed for sinners. Sinners must believe that Jesus died and his blood was shed on Calvary for them and for their sins. They must not only believe that, but they must receive that. This is not only something that the sinner needs to understand, and it is not only something that the sinner needs to accept, but it is a glorious and wondrous truth that the believer continues to feast on daily. That Jesus Christ came to earth in the flesh. He was God, and he died on Calvary and shed his blood for my sins. It is not only something that the sinner needs to believe and the sinner needs to accept, and the sinner needs to receive, but it's something that the believer feasts on every day. It is a glorious and wondrous truth that God became man in the flesh and died for my sins, shedding his blood in my place. And that is something that the believer should feast upon every day. The person who hears and understands, the person who comes to Jesus and calls out to him, the person who believes and receives that Jesus Christ is God who came to earth and bled and died for their sins. It is that person who has eternal life within them. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. We take that bread and it reminds us that God came in the flesh. And we drink that cup, and it reminds us that Jesus' blood was shed for us. It is how the believer continues to feast upon the flesh and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glorious and wondrous truth that God became man and died and bled in our place. Sinner, when Jesus Christ says, you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood, he is saying that you must believe and you must accept and you must receive that God became a man and that he died on Calvary and shed his blood for your sins. You must receive that and believe that in order to have eternal life. It is that person that has eternal life within them. The person who continues to feed on the goodness of Christ throughout their life, it is that person that has eternal life. The person who refuses to believe that Jesus was God, the person who refuses to believe that Jesus shed his blood and died for their sins, the person who does not feed on the goodness of Christ throughout their life, that person has no spiritual life within them. And they have no hope of eternal life ahead of them. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ was God, come down and shed his blood and died on Calvary for your sins. And if you do not feast on the goodness of Christ throughout your life, you do not have any spiritual life in you and you have no hope of eternal life ahead of you. Look at John 6:55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. My wife has constantly reminded me of the difference between real food, foods that carry nutrition and nourishment, and foods that carry life and health. And I'm guessing that chicken nuggets doesn't fall into that category. She is constantly reminding me of the difference between real foods that carry nutrition and carry nourishment. Real foods carry health and life. And she's reminding me of the difference between real foods and processed foods, which do little more than fill the belly. They have no real nutrition and no real health. The processed foods just fill the belly. And sinners are filling up. Listen to me. I'm almost done. Sinners are filling up on the imaginary processed foods of this world. They're feasting on the cotton candy of pleasure. And they're receiving no real, no spiritual, no eternal benefits. But Jesus Christ is the real food. Jesus Christ is where real life is, and real health is, and real nourishment is to be found in Jesus Christ. He said, His flesh is meat indeed, and His blood is drink indeed. That's where the real life is found. That is where the real spiritual health is found. That is where the real nourishment is found. That is where eternal life is found, is in the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sinners are filling up on the things of this world that have no value. Go ahead, sinner. Keep going after the things of this world. They do not satisfy you, and they do you no good. And many of the things that you are running after in this world, not only do they not satisfy you, and not only do they not do you no good, but most of the things that you are running after, sinner, in this world, most of the things harm you, hurt you. Jesus Christ said, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." If you want the real thing, a thing that brings you real life and abundant life and satisfying life and joyous life and eternal life, it is to be found in Jesus Christ and not in anything else. Sinner, I ask you, aren't you tired of running after the things of this world that have only hurt you? Aren't you tired of running after the things of this world that have left you still unhappy and unsatisfied? I say to you, come and feast upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the real meat, and He is the real drink, and He is where satisfaction, and He is where joy is found. He's where eternal life is found. He's where happiness is found. Verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Not only does he who eats of Christ receive eternal life and spiritual health and inner strength, but there is a mutual dwelling that happens when you come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A mutual dwelling. Jesus Christ dwells in the believer, and the believer dwells in Jesus Christ. Sinners, in their natural state, without Christ, and outside of Christ, and strangers from Christ, alienated from Christ, they are open. They are unprotected from the law. Sinners that are outside of Christ, sinners that are without Christ, sinners that are alienated from God, they are not protected, but they are out in the open, unprotected from the law and the justice of God. Listen, sinner, friend, if you continue to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you are out in the open, you are unprotected from the law and from the justice of God. If you continue to be on your own, alone, away from Christ, if you continue to reject Christ, then you are out in the open and vulnerable to the law of God and the justice of God. In other words, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ and you are not in Christ, then the law will come down upon you and the justice of God will come down upon you. The Holy Spirit of God convinces the sinner that he or she is vulnerable, that they are under the wrath of God. And he directs them, the Holy Spirit directs them to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ like one would flee to the city of refuge. And I'm telling you, sinner, right now this morning, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, as your friend, I'm warning you. If you are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have rejected Christ, if you are not a Christian, if you are not a believer and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in a vulnerable position. And the law of God and the justice of God will come down hard on you. And you'll be cast into the lake of fire. is birthed forever and ever. But oh, I say to you, isn't the Holy Spirit calling you? Isn't He convincing you what a vulnerable position you are in? What a precarious position you are in? Isn't the Holy Spirit whispering to you and warning you that you need to flee to Jesus Christ as a city of refuge, as a protection, as a refuge, as a stronghold, as a proper dwelling place, as a place of defense? That's what you find in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are in Christ, you are safe from the reach of the law of God. When you are in Christ, you are safe from the reach of the judgment of God. Flee to Christ. It is in Christ that you find a stronghold and a place of defense. It is in Christ that you find a proper dwelling place. It is there in Christ that the sinner resolves to abide and does abide forever. It is there that the sinner dwells in safety, dwells in peace, dwells in comfort, dwells in pleasantness. In Christ! It is in Christ that the sinner can dwell and never be turned out. Jesus is saying, this bread, your fathers had bread called manna in the wilderness, but I've got bread that will give you eternal life. The bread that they ate and then they died, but the bread you eat, this bread from heaven, will give you eternal life. What is this bread? It is my flesh. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, believe that I am God. Believe that I came to earth in the flesh and that I am going to die. Or in this case, I did die and my blood was shed for your sins. Believe that and receive that, my friend. And if you'll do that, you can come into me and dwell in me and in me find safety. And if you'll believe on me and receive me, then I will come into you. I will dwell in you and you can dwell in me. The sinner who is in Christ is now called a saint. It is now also the dwelling place of Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is not just in the saint's mind. But Jesus Christ is in the saint's heart. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. By faith. If you're here and you're a sinner, you've never believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never come to Him and called out to Him in faith, in repentance, believing, trusting Him, asking for mercy, asking for grace, asking for forgiveness, asking for salvation. If you've never done that, I need you to know, sinner, that you are out away from Christ. You are alienated from God and you are in a vulnerable position. It's only a matter of time before the law of God reaches you and the wrath of God prosecutes you and casts you into hell. Why do you keep going after the things of this world? Why do you keep going after what this world offers you? You know it is only, in most cases, it has only hurt you. It has only harmed you. You know that in most cases, nearly in every case, I suspect that it has not left you satisfied. Why do you keep going after that stuff? Go after Jesus Christ. Go after Christ. Believe on Him. Trust Him. He will save you. He will save you now. And you can dwell in Him in safety, in peace, in comfort, in joy, in satisfaction. Sinner, won't you believe today? God became a man. He died on the cross. His blood was spilled on the ground. And He did it for you. It should have been you. It should have been you. But He did it for you. Believe on Him today. Trust Him today.